Welcome to Writers with Wrinkles, where authors Beth McMullen and Lisa Schmid iron out the wrinkles in writing, publishing, and everything in between, one podcast at a time.
Hello, lovely listeners, authors, aspiring writers, and everyone in between. Welcome to episode 53, a top five deep dive into how to create a strong opening for your novel.
Yay!
We cheer. Yay for strong openings. Today is Halloween when we're recording this. Lisa and I, neither of us have acquired any candy to give out, so things are starting to feel a bit tense because soon little goblins and ghouls are going to knock on the door and be like, oh, can we have some candy, please? And we're going to be like, no. Well,
no. Full disclosure, I do have candy, but I'm doing a book giveaway on a blog right now today. And what I offered up was a copy of Ollie Oxley and a bag of candy corn, because my jokes are corny, and so I paired it.
Just like that one.
So I went there to look for candy corn. It's Halloween, and it's all gone. Like, everything. Christmas candy is up. And I had to, like, wander around and find a bag of candy corn.
And did you get, like, the sad last one on the shelf where it looks a little bedraggled, like maybe somebody opened it and spit in it and stuff?
It's worse.
I'm concerned that I'm going to be going out in like an hour and trying to find candy, and I'm just going to all I'm going to find is Christmas trees. That's all that's out there. It's alarming.
You'd think they do the big switchover at night, but they didn't. So,
and Halloween has gotten so huge. Like, I had a huge bin of Halloween decorations, and now that the kids are older and nobody cares, I'm like, I'm not decorating for Halloween. So I put them up on Freecycle, and within about 10 seconds, I had probably 50 people asking me for the decorations. It's amazing. Amazing. I'm just too lazy. Clearly, I'm too lazy. I don't even have candy yet.
I know.
Oh, well.
Well, and it's my son's birthday, so that's always, it's always a special day around here.
So that's a big day. It is also the day before NaNoWriMo starts, and that's National Novel Writing Month, where you're supposed to start November 1st and write a 50,000-word novel by the end of the month. Lisa and I are here to tell you that we're not participating this year.
No. We failed last year in an epic way. And you know what? I don't know which is scarier, NaNoWriMo or Halloween. And
definitely the writing. I'm perfectly fine with Halloween. I just can't handle trying to write a whole novel in 1 month, especially because it's a month where you have like a big interruption for Thanksgiving and you've got kids off from school or home from college or whatever. And it's just like the worst month. If it was like National Write a Novel in, I don't know, February, I might do it then.
February is a short month. Why would you say that?
I'm not going to finish anyway. It doesn't matter if the month has 28 days or 31 days. I'm still going to fail. But to all of you out there who are doing it, best wishes.
Good luck. We're rooting for you.
May you succeed beyond your wildest dreams.
Yes.
Okay. So this is, as I said, a deep dive into how to create a strong opening to your novel. The reason we wanted to do this episode is that back in September, September 4th to be exact, we had agent Jennifer March Soloway on. And among the many things she said that you should want to know, she talked about the importance of a strong opening, and specifically a strong opening line. And she gave a couple of examples of ones that she loves. So if you didn't listen to that episode, it's episode 44. It dropped on September 4th. Go back and listen to it. But that's really the inspiration for us digging up five important things to creating a strong opening.
Yeah. And so I agree. She gave so many good tips and such wonderful advice. And I think that's one that definitely, if you're out querying, having that strong opening, especially when agents have so many – submissions in their inbox, it's something that's vitally important to have a really strong opening.
Yeah, it's just, it's going to get you, you know, otherwise you might just end up on the slush pile. But if your opening is really intriguing and they can't stop thinking about it, they might read your novel. And that's a good thing.
Before we jump into this, is that don't be like me and get stuck on that line and then not finish writing your book.
Because you're rewriting the first line over right. and over and so over again, just like a horror movie.
Exactly. So just know that you can go back and change it, like, because as you move through your story, you will probably discover a better opening line. So don't get too hung up on it when you're drafting, but really try to come up with that good opening line or opening paragraph, I would say.
And a lot of times I come up with my first line, you know, toward the end. Like, I've written a first line, but like you said, it's not as good as it could be after I've spent so much time with the book.
Right.
You're suddenly like, oh yeah. In fact, today I was changing the first paragraph on a manuscript that I'm finishing up. And it's probably the 25th time I've changed it. I'll probably change it again. But yeah, that's good advice to keep in mind as we go through our five things.
All right, I'm going to kick us off. So number one, start with action or intrigue. Begin with a scene that immediately draws the reader into the story, such as a moment of action, conflict, mystery, or intrigue. Like with the manuscript I'm working on, I start right away with action. I've got a kid who's obsessed with gaming, and he's right in the middle of a game, right as we open the story. And so that lets the readers know this is obviously a kid who's into gaming. So it's one of those things, it's like, just pull them in right away.
I love dropping the reader right into the midstream of the action at the very get-go, so that they are kind of swept away in the tide. And then a couple of paragraphs later, you can start filling stuff in.
And that's what I did with this one. And I know people say you're not supposed to do it, but my first line in the book is a line of dialogue.
I think it can work.
In this particular situation, he's in the middle of a video game. And I think kids are going to recognize right away, oh my gosh, she's in the middle of a video game. So you have to be careful with that, because I always hear people say, don't start with dialogue. I think even Jennifer said that. And I'm like, I already did.
Of course, you know, these rules like don't do this and don't do that are never hard and fast. You can bend them however you'd like for your particular story. Okay, number two. I like that number one. I want everybody to write that down right now before we go to number two. But here we are at number two. Introduce a relatable character. It's kind of the same idea as number one, where you are putting kind of your best foot forward. So feature that compelling or relatable character in your opening so that your audience is emotionally connected, and that now they want to know what happens because they care about this person for whatever reason. And I've seen this done really well in a number of ways. And sometimes it's just putting the person into an awkward situation or an uncomfortable situation and showing how they react, because sometimes that's funny, or it makes the person feel, okay, this is not, you know, this is a regular person who's having stresses in their lives. I can relate to that. I'm interested in that.
Yeah. Even if it's just that quick moment, you can still give an inkling of who that character is by the way they react to something, you know, externally or internally. I mean, you can get a glimpse into who this character is right away if you do it right.
And I think that it's actually good advice maybe to come back to that after you've spent an entire novel with this character, because you might be able to tighten that up or just make it better because you know this character better. And so you can pick that one little thing that's going to make the reader just stick like glue to your story.
Okay. Number three, pose questions or create conflict. Engage your readers by raising questions or presenting conflicts that demand resolution, compelling them to read on. And I know this sounds like a big ask in that, you know, opening of a story, but it really is something you just kind of have to find a way to like pack all this in to the beginning, just whatever, you know, whatever conflict, there's got to be something that gets them to want to keep moving forward. if there's no, if these questions aren't in there or the action, it just, it can be mundane reading it, like you're waiting to get to the punch. And a lot of times I will have to discard the first chapter. I am notorious for that. I will give it to Catherine, my critique partner, and she's like, dump the first chapter. And so that is what always happens to me. So it's a lot of times don't get too conflicted if it doesn't sound perfect right now. I've seen a lot of manuscripts where there's backstory in the first chapter instead of just jumping right into the story. So give yourself some grace with that and just, you know, revisit it later on. But again, like I said, I, on both my books and my chapter book, I dumped the first chapter.
I think you said something super important, and that is do not put your backstory in your first chapter. That conflicts with everything we've said, which is start with action or intrigue, introduce your relatable character, pose questions, and create conflict. None of that is going to happen with backstories. It's like the kiss of death. Yes. You have to work it in later. It is necessary in some cases, but also not the most exciting part of your book. So be sure to heed that advice. You can also, like, say you have a really short opening first chapter, you can just end it on a cliffhanger, like some big question that is hanging out there that your readers are going to be compelled by enough to turn the page. So, I mean, you can do that as an option too for that. You know, that's not the first line, but it is the beginning. It's the first chapter. So that's another thing you can try to do. Number four, use vivid description and sensory detail. This is just a given, I think, but we wanted to call it out because you are trying to do so many things in this opening. Don't forget to pick really compelling descriptive language. Make every word count. You don't want to overload it with flowery details because people get bogged down in that. But try to engage the reader's senses in a very tight way. So pick all your descriptors and your details very carefully. Make sure they matter to the scene that you're trying to portray, because you need to grab the reader right away at this point.
Absolutely. Less is more. You know, it's one of those things that literally every word counts, and every word should be driving that story forward.
Yeah, I just was working with somebody. This is a high school student who's writing essays for his college application. And one of the questions he had 250 words, which is really nothing. And all of these things that we were talking about, I was using with him. So getting him to put the reader right in the moment with him, talking about himself as the relatable character, because it is a personal statement type of thing. What internal conflicts is he trying to address in the scene? And also, like, those descriptive words, what are you picking? Because you only have 250 words. You have to be really careful what you choose so you don't go over your limit with wasted words.
All right. Number five. This is my favorite.
We saved the best for last.
Craft an engaging first line. Make your first sentence memorable, thought-provoking, or intriguing to capture the reader's attention and set the tone for your novel. So true. So true.
It is so true.
Well, and full disclosure, I'm not the master at this. I'm not super great at it. And I will... I'll reference back to this in a second, but I have a hard time creating that magical first line, and I would get obsessed with it. So I kind of try to make it the first paragraph, which is probably not great, but I have a really hard time.
I think that for most writers, the very first, to make it just one line is really hard, right?
Yes.
I think if you're going to expand it and give yourself a little bit more bandwidth and do an opening paragraph.
Yes.
That has the same bang for your buck, as long as you're paying attention to all of the things that we're talking about here. So you're not using the extra space to just, you know, babble on incessantly, but you're being tight and you're putting the reader in the action, and you're offering details that are sharp. That's the most important thing. And if that takes you three lines, then it takes you three lines, you know?
Yes. And that's, I really wanted to bring that up because it just, you can get obsessed with it. And one of the things years ago when I went to LASCBWI, I went to one of those breakout sessions and it was Molly Burnham. And she's hysterical, like just a really wonderful, funny writer. She had just won, I think it was the Sid Fleischman Award for like—
Yes, for humor. I know.
In middle grade. She's just delightful. I love her so much. And the first line of her book, Teddy Mars, Almost a World Breaker, is probably the most memorable line of any book I've ever read because I found it so amusing. And I had bought the book at the conference, and then I took it on the plane and I was reading it on the plane. And I remember very distinctly laughing out loud when I read the first line, and I can quote it back to anyone because it's just, to me, it's such a memorable first line. So, but my point is, like, I got so hung up on that I always tried to recreate like a memorable first line and I could never do it. So this is the first line of her book, Teddy Mars, Almost a World Record Breaker. The day my brother climbed.
Sorry. We're never going to get through this. Hang on, folks. It's going to be a few minutes.
Okay. It's so funny. Okay. The day my brother climbed into the cat box was the day I knew my life would never be normal again.
That was a good one.
It's so fun.
Like, you can totally imagine it in your mind's eye, and it's funny. That is a good line.
Oh my God. And it just, her whole book is funny, and it's that same kind of humor. And honestly, it ruined me. Like, because I'm like, I'll never come up with something.
I'll never have a cat box line.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, it's the one, like, I know there's like brilliant first lines out there, but this is the one I always remember because it just was so funny.
Well, and it does everything that, you know, most of the things that we've just talked about, because there's action there. It's absurd. It's introducing you to the tone. There's going to be conflict. He's saying his life is never going to be normal again. And he knew it. The obviously vivid description and sensory detail. And it's relatable. I mean, it's like, oh, the little brother, all of those things. She's doing it exactly as we've suggested. It's a brilliant example.
It's perfection. And so kudos to Molly. I just love this opening line, and it's one of my favorite books.
All right. I have an opening line for you too. It's from Pachenko, the novel Pachenko, which is Min Jin Lee. And the line is, history has failed us, but no matter. That's it. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. History has failed us, but no matter. I think it's just, it encapsulates everything in the book and the idea that, you know, history is written by the victors, right?
Right.
And it has failed her and her family, but it doesn't matter. Things are still going to go on. Like, you can't escape it. History has you and you cannot escape it. I just thought, like, for conciseness and kind of hitting you over the head, I remember when I read the book, I read that line like 10 times and I was like, wait a minute. Oh my God, this is a good one. And so it just stuck with me forever. So those are two good examples of how you can use the five things we just talked about to craft a amazing first line or first paragraph, and hopefully get that agent that you want to sign you to keep reading. Okay, so I think we've set you up pretty well to go and do this. If you want to share your first lines with us, please do. All of our contact information is in the podcast notes. And that is all our brilliant advice for today's episode. And we'll be back next week with author Erica Lewis, who is a pro at telling stories set in magical places. And I think she'll have a lot to teach us. So please join us for that episode. Until then, happy reading, writing, and listening. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Beth. Bye, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Writers with Wrinkles. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.